Hey there, welcome to Walking Alongside Perspectives, a combination of short monopods as well as some conversations with cool folks covering various topics based on what is going on in the world, focusing on the broader theme of perspectives. As Friedrich Nietzsche said, there are no facts, only interpretations. So let's get into it with this episode. Thanks for being here. It seems like I am literally all over the map with when I am posting new episodes. I really have no excuse or rationalization beyond the fact that there simply don't seem to be enough hours in the day. I know that probably sounds lame. I mentioned before the incessant list of things that need to be done before a person could get to the things they want to get to, and this is a case in point. We got back the other day from a quick trip to Jasper with my brother and his family who are here from Germany. We haven't seen them since 2019, so it was nice to be able to get away to one of our favorite places and do and see and share things that we love. There was lots of hiking, we found a great place for ice cream, had really good pizza, and my brother, who is an amazing hobby photographer, was able to get lots of great shots of animals, mountains, scenery, and of course, eating pictures. It's a family thing. Chris was with us, but wasn't really able to let his hair down and just be on vacation. He was always on his phone, checking emails, making sure that there wasn't some crisis unfolding at the office, as he had a number of real estate deals closing in. While he tried to get ahead of the curve on them, of course, there were hiccups and glitches, and so he didn't really get to shut down. We even had to do a recce the first day we got there to find where the Pure Later pickup location was, and some banking institution, and then later find the copy printer shop. So it was more like he was on location as opposed to on vacation. After a nice trip to the mountains, we got home, and he immediately went to the office, and I got to the business of putting the house back in order after there have been four extra people staying there. Laundry, vacuuming, and as it happens, we were at some point talking about deep cleaning things, so I felt compelled to clean the fridge and the Lazy Susan, as well as clear out a bunch of old shoes. So that was done in the afternoon, and then the next day it was mopping, more laundry, mowing the grass, cleaning out the green bin, which stank like nobody's business, and one of the rain barrels, as I was worried that we might be inadvertently contributing to the mosquito problem. The dog had been rolling in the grass all day, so before I could have a shower, I needed to give her a bath, and that was pretty much my last day off. Again, I had hoped to do something on my list of would like to do while on vacation. Watercolor was high up on my list, but it didn't happen. I did manage to get in both the workouts that I needed to, but it was more like I was compelled to do them because otherwise the streak I was on in the app would have come to an end. And so while working out is something I enjoy, it kind of felt more like another thing I needed to tick off the to-do list. However, I am also super excited about an episode I recorded a while back with a friend and former colleague, but it's a long one, and so the editing is a bit daunting. The plan is therefore to put it out into the universe so that I'm compelled to chip away at it and get it out there, because I just love the perspective she shared on things that I often think about as they relate to parenting, starting over, and many of the challenges our kids face that I just don't think we did. So I'm looking forward to getting that one out, but in the meantime, the impetus for this episode is from the maps that we were checking and double-checking on all the hikes that we did. If you've ever done a hike at a national or provincial park, you'll know that there are all these trailhead markers and often a rather faded map of all the different trails that might originate from any given place. Jasper is, of course, no exception, and where they are also no exception is on the distances and estimated times required to do the hike. For example, 0.9 kilometers, estimated time, 30 minutes. If you're dragging yourself along by your tongue, perhaps. Even the ones that have a significant elevation are so far off on how long it takes, you may as well not even bother looking. Really, the only thing I take away from those markers or signposts is whether or not I'm still on the right trail and going in the right direction. The distance and time is too out to lunch that it's really not even worth looking at. So while we were out there with my brother and his family, we did a few hikes that Chris and I had for some reason never really done before. The Five Lakes Loop, we skipped the first lake, which would have added 4 kilometers, according to the trail maps, so we just did the last four, and it was gorgeous. There were some really adventurous folks on the trail who jumped off the pier at one of the lakes, I can't remember which one, might have been three, and it was into what felt like pretty fresh water, like pretty fresh, like mountain glacial fresh. So kudos for them, I could not, would not jump off a pier, so my hat goes off to those who have that spontaneous spirit, because it's definitely not me. We also did the Upper Moose Loop at Moline Lake, and that was a great one because we actually saw a moose. And that was as a result of some lovely Japanese tourists who pointed it out on the far side of the lake and said that they had actually spotted it as it was swimming across the lake. we were very grateful, and my brother has this jumbo long distance telephoto lens thing, so he got some amazing shots, and I was just so impressed that they were able to communicate that to us, because I think we are just so accustomed to everyone being able to speak English. My nephews, who are 13 and 15, speak perfect English, which is great because nobody here speaks German. But if the tables had been turned and we had been in Japan and we saw something really cool and ran into some locals, I would not have been able to say in Japanese, broken or otherwise, that we saw it swimming from here to there and look, there it is. If I was in Quebec, I could have probably faked it enough to sound somewhat comprehensible. In the Netherlands, no problem. But that's it. I couldn't do it in any other language, and I think that is sort of sad, that there is this assumption that everyone will just be able to speak English. It's weird. Is it another remnant of our colonial past, or just this arrogance that because America was once a superpower and it somehow became the language of business, that everyone just needs to learn and or know English? Bizarre and highly egotistical. But the other thing that I always think about as we make the trip out to Jasper is the time it takes to get there. The one upside to living in Calgary is that you are a lot closer to the mountains. But here, from Edmonton, it's 4 hours before you are where you want to be. When we were driving home, I said to Chris that when I was younger, like way younger, like in school younger, and we were doing some geography-related thing, I was always secretly proud that we were the second biggest country, like we'd won something. Canada was a winner. We were on the podium for being big. But really, it's a huge disadvantage in terms of governing, efficiency, and pretty much anything. Transport, mail, telecommunications, commuting. Bigger is definitely not better. And certainly, from the perspective of travel, bigger is a huge disadvantage. 4 hours of driving and you are at your destination, sure, but then you still have to drive to get to where you want to be, to do or see whatever it is that you went there to go do or see. An hour to Maligne Lake, 45 minutes to the put-in for the whitewater rafting we did on the Sunwapta River, which was freaking amazing and would definitely highly recommend. I loved it. It's about 45 minutes to Mount Edith Cavell. Okay, that's more because it's a super switchbacky road, but still, it's all time spent in the car to be able to do the things. We know quite a few people who have trailers to be able to go camping and beyond the time and effort it takes to get the trailer ready. Hard pass for me on that front. I'd rather go tenting any day. But again, it's all the time to get the thing ready. And then you have to factor in at minimum an hour and a half to 2+ hours to get somewhere good. And so that cuts into your weekend. And then you have to leave earlier in order to make the drive that whole way home at the end of the weekend. And it just seems so exhausting. When you drive 3 to 4 hours in Europe, you're generally in a different country, or at least somewhere really cool and really different. Here, if you drive 3 to 4 hours, you're in Saskatchewan, or still in Alberta, just in the middle of nowhere. Of course, there's lots of cool little places that are within an hour of town, depending on where you live. That might add 15 to 45 minutes to your trip, and depending on the direction you're going. But really, and then anything less than 2 to 3 hours away could still easily be called a day trip, but all that land, all that glorious space has a price. Fuel and time. Now, don't get me wrong, I love that space and land, but it does cut into fun times from a travel or vacation perspective. 12 hours to get to Vancouver, 10 to Kelowna. You could fly, but that still costs you a day because you have to waste so much time at the airport. When I last traveled for work, I was coming home from Yellowknife, and the guy I was chatting with at the luggage belt while we waited for the 45-minute delay for the suitcases to get onto the belt, he had traveled from Iqaluit. He'd left at some ridiculously early time in the morning, like well before light, and after 3 transfers, he was finally in Edmonton at 1 o'clock in the morning. Brutal. If I'm going to be on a plane, or several planes, for 18 hours, I had better end up in Australia, not still be in my own country, and from really far north to still kind of north-ish. I mean, I know Edmonton is essentially the center of the province, but it's still north compared to other cities and other provinces. I mean, even much of northern Ontario is more south than we are. Check the map. I did, to make sure I wasn't talking outside of my head. Newfoundland and Labrador have us beat on the northerliness front, and I would love to go to Newfoundland, but that's not the point. Although it kind of is, because it costs as much or more to fly to the Maritimes as it does to fly to Europe. That's just sad. And that's the price you pay for being big. I love our freshwater lakes, our rivers and waterfalls and landscapes that span mountains to prairies and everything in between. But I wish we could get on a train, avoid the stupid security at the airport, wheel your suitcase off at another platform and be somewhere else in 4 to 5 hours, like really somewhere else. 4 hours and 37 minutes between Amsterdam and Paris. When you look at the map and see where you can go in that time frame in Europe, it's amazing to see all the options, and for really not that much money. Way less than a plane ticket, and much more comfortable, in my opinion. We have long heard about the high-speed train that would connect Edmonton and Calgary with likely a stop in Red Deer, and while that seems like a great idea, at the end of the day, you're still only in Calgary or Edmonton. Big whoop. I don't think you need to be a rocket scientist to understand why the economics of passenger train travel in a country as vast as Canada might not work, but I mean, the rails are there. The cities are there. There can be passengers. It could work. But maybe we didn't fight for it, or maybe we didn't know about how awesome it could be, or maybe we realized that even if you got to where you were going, you would still need a car because everything in a country that is big is going to be far. You might get to Saskatoon, but if the city transit doesn't get you where you need to be, then you aren't all that much farther ahead. Now, I don't know anything about transit in Saskatoon, but if it's anything like the LRT in Edmonton, well, you better start walking. So where would you like to be able to get to faster? What is your favorite way to travel? What is the longest road trip you have ever taken? And do you wish that you could get to a destination other than Calgary by rapid rail? I would love to hear about it. Thanks for listening. If you have ideas for a topic, or even better, a perspective to share, I would love to hear them and share them, ideally in a conversation with you. Please subscribe wherever you get your podcasts and throw a comment my way or share with friends. For better or for worse, we're all in this together. We have exactly one world to share, so let's make it the best one it can be. Until next time, take good care. Ciao for now.